needed, and that's where we're headed tonight. Lord, we love you, and I thank you for our church gathered together. And Lord, as we went to prayer already and prayed over these many requests, Lord, I again just want to lift up, Lord, I think of Micah Summey, Lord, and what he's battling there. And I pray for his numbers, Lord, that this CAT scan, Lord, that it would show that he's cancer-free and he could start that last round of chemo, Lord, and move on, Lord, in victory through past this thing. I know you're able, Lord. I pray for Steve Knight, Lord, and the cancer that's throughout his abdomen there. God, I pray you'd give him strength and help as they, Lord, as the doctors try to navigate through this with him. Lord, I pray you'd help. Lord, I think of Brother Chuck, Lord, and his pancreatic cancer. I ask you, Lord, to just be with his dear wife, Ruth Ann. Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom, and Lord, for your perfect timing. Lord, you do all things well. Now help us as we go, please, to the Bible tonight. Lord, Colossians, I'm excited about, Lord, where you have us. I pray that you would feed us from the Word of God. Make it come alive and bring it to light tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Now, by way of review, it's been a few weeks since we've been in the book, and we've only made it, I think, to verse 11, I'm not mistaken. We've been at two or three weeks, I think, only made it to verse 11, but it's been a few weeks. And so by way of review, somebody help me tonight. Somebody help me now. Modern day country, where was Colossae at? Turkey. And what did they call that back in, back used to be, long time ago, what did they call that? Asia Minor, that is correct. Man, if you could throw up on the screen when you have that, please, you can throw a picture up on there. And you see where Ephesus is, kind of bold there along a port town over there on the left side of where Turkey is. And you see Colossae, it's about 100 miles east there into that Asia Minor. And show another picture, man, please, if you would. Another one there. Okay, this kind of shows the mountains there. And again, I don't have a marker with me tonight, but if you can think about where inland here and some of those valleys between those mountains. See, Colossae sat in a valley right there next to where Laodicea was and Hierapolis was. Three cities in this valley. And remember, in the first century, they were all destroyed by an earthquake at least twice, completely destroyed and had to be rebuilt. And do you have any other pictures, men? Do you have any others up there? Okay. And this doesn't show as much there, but some different roads. The road that went from the Euphrates all the way to Ephesus at one time went through Colossae. You can take those off now. Thank you. And that main road and a little town became a market town because it was a place to stop. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but 81 has not always been there. And 11's been much longer. 11 goes a long way, all the way up the East Coast. I think it even goes up to Canada, if I'm not mistaken. Keeps on going. But in Falling Waters, there's a little camper place, isn't there? Right when you go through Falling Waters, there's a little spot where there's a bunch of campers sitting there. And if you go in and read the little things on the wall in there, it used to be a place when people were headed south, snowbirds or whatever they want to call them, they were headed south and they needed somewhere to stop for the night. And that's why that place existed. And it was just going through a little town. Who knows where Falling Waters, West Virginia is, but these people that had campers needed to stop for the night. And then 81, of course, came, and a lot of people don't know that exists anymore because it bypassed it. And that's exactly what happened with Colossae. Remember, the road moved out from Colossae and went over through Laodicea, and then Laodicea became bigger and began to be built up. And Colossae does not, that town as what we're talking about doesn't exist anymore. And again, we've talked about dates in this, all right? So Mr. Usher in here, his dating in my Bible says A.D. 64. Now, of course, he's a man and he's a studious man. Is that correct exactly? I can't tell you that. I believe he's close. History would tell us that in the early A.D. 60s is when the next earthquake destroyed the town. And so I don't believe, and I've told you this a couple times now, but I don't believe that earthquake would have happened before this letter was written, because I would believe that if they had a complete town destroyed by an earthquake, that Paul would have mentioned that. They had to move somewhere. They had to do something. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, I don't. It's just my opinion. And I'll tell you that. What do you do with my opinion? You throw it away if you don't like it, okay? And so there you go, all right? And so as I'm understanding this and all of that, that's the background there. So we went through till verse 11, but let me pick up in verse 9 and just by way of review before we begin. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow, he could say that to Shenandoah tonight. That ye would walk worthy. Listen, folks, we are born again believers, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have a purpose about us that we are to walk worthy of His pleasing, right? Come on now, living life, not for whatever we can put in our pocket, but to His pleasing. And say, Lord, here I am, whatever You wish, whatever You want, I'm for You, I'm yielded to You, that we would walk worthy. And verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We talked about that last time just as we were ending. What does that sound like? What's that sound like there when you hear patience and long-suffering and joyfulness? Sounds like fruit of the Spirit to me, doesn't it? And He's talking about power. You know what He wants? He said, walk worthy and have the Holy Spirit of God about you and be filled with the Spirit. That's exactly what Jesus told the disciples when he was ascending into heaven. He says, I want you to be witnesses. Ye will be witnesses. But the power of God's coming upon you. Wait for it. Wait for it. And folks, this is not new, but we understand these things. But you know what happens with our sinful life? Sometimes we're in the Spirit, and sometimes we're not. And that's the truth. Yeah, you can be in the Spirit right now. You just got done praying. Maybe you confessed some sin or whatnot, or maybe you're just having a great day with the Lord and all these things. You could be in the Spirit, and tomorrow morning you could wake up and be a stinking grump. You know what I'm talking about? Let's not raise hands, because Pastor Jones, we've got to be careful about that. But listen now, that happens, doesn't it? And it's a daily thing that we've got to walk with the Lord, and we've got to challenge our flesh to get into subjection to the Lord. Amen. But when we're filled with the Spirit, God's power is upon us. He enables us to do what He's asked us to do. What did He say? I want you to walk worthy and do it in the power of God. And He enables us to do that. Now we go to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, we don't really talk like that anymore, so we got to think about these words a little bit. He's made us meet. Wait a minute. What's that mean? All right. He's enabled us. Listen now. He's made it possible for you and I to be children of God. To as many as received Him gave He power to become the sons of God. John 1:12, right? Amen. Amen. He's made us meet. He's made it possible. He's enabled us to do that. We talked about recently about when Jesus died on the cross and the confirmations of that it was the Son of God, the King of Kings that died on the cross, and that veil was ripped in two. Remember we talked about that? How large it was, how 60 feet in length and 20 feet wide and about 4 inches thick, about the width of a man's hand? That it was said that a team of oxen couldn't even pull it apart, and yet God did that. He made it possible. Something that was made to keep us out. And He said, come on in. And He made it possible for us. He enabled us, right? We are to give thanks for that. We are to give thanks for that. Saints of light. Notice that word light. There's a difference. Listen now. Light and darkness. And He's pointing that out. We are children of light. We are saints in light. Look what verse 13 says. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know what the Lord doesn't want for you and me? He doesn't want us walking in darkness. That's right. Yeah, where a lot of sin takes place is in a corner, in a little darkness. You know, why is that? Because the power of darkness. Listen, we could talk about that from a lot of different angles. But I have a verse written down here, and I want to read it. It's Luke 22. If you want to follow me, you can do that. But it's Luke 22, and it's when the betrayal of Jesus is taking place, where Judas is involved here, and the chief priest. Just look at, if you're there, Luke 22, and it's verse 52, and it says here, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him. So these are the Jewish leaders, but it's also they had an army, a group of soldiers that actually guarded around the temple that kept peace, and they could tell them what to do and get them to do it. So these men have come out, and look what he says here. I'm in Luke 22:52. It says, "Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Consider that. You know what Jesus was saying to these Jewish men and these soldiers? This is your hour because the power of darkness is upon you. You know what that means? That means the depth. We have an enemy. And we've spoken about that a lot in recent days. But listen now. We have an enemy. And that enemy wants to use... There's people that become tools of Satan. The power of darkness comes upon them. And the devil is looking for opportunity, even with Christians, when he can just steer them a little bit and make them a tool for his purpose. Whispering in ears and thoughts going through minds, different things, and he can make things happen. He knows where you're weak. The power of darkness. He says, Jesus told those men, this is your hour and the power of darkness. We see that. Be careful. And hath translated us. Look, I'm back in Colossians. Look at verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. There's victory there. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Praise God. Saved by his power divine. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Now, look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And Pastor John, we know this. This is what we talk about all the time. Yes, and it should never get old. The word of God should come alive now to us. Think about redemption. You know what that word means? It means ransomed in full. There was a price on us, and Jesus said, I'll pay it because I love you. Amen? Praise God for it. Listen, redemption, bought back. You know why God put the book of Hosea in the Bible? So we could understand that ahead of time. So the Jews could understand that. So Hosea could preach that thing. You know what happened? God told Hosea to go purchase back his wife who had made bad decisions and buy her back. It cost him money. He had to do something to get her back. And as a picture of God's love for the Jewish people, and of course for us, we can make great application with that redemption. But look what it says, through his blood. About everybody in here tonight can quote that verse in Hebrew, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Remission means forgiveness, right? Now, church, I don't mean to help you or be offensive at all, but it doesn't say the cross here. It says the blood. You know why the Lord in the Ten Commandments, why he had something, he said, make no graven image? Because the Jews would have a tendency that they needed to see something. They needed to hold on to something physical. That's why, listen, it does not say that the golden calf at the bottom of the mount and the golden calves that who was it, Jeroboam set up in two different places. It never says that those were all other false gods. They had just heard Jehovah's voice, and then they needed an image. And that led them astray. Because how can God of the universe, God of the of infinity, be put into an image that man can make? Can't happen. And some oftentimes Christians, and I know that that term can be used loosely in our world. You understand what I'm saying? And they make an image out of that, right there, a device of execution. And I praise God for the songs we sing and we come to the cross and all that. But without the blood, there is no forgiveness. That's why he says right there, that's why he says, through his blood. Amen? And the blood showed proof. When that soldier came up and stuck that, he would have been, remember, he's lifted up, the Bible says. And he's underneath, that soldier took that spear and went up like that and went underneath his rib cage and pierced the heart cavity there, and it says the water and the blood came out. And that showed that his life was given. He didn't pass out on the cross. He died. And we know these things, okay? Even the forgiveness of sins, it says. Praise the Lord for it. Now, I'm not here to say that we can't sing the old rugged cross and all that. That's where he died. We understand that. But that blood is what we focus on. That is the importance right there. Amen. And I say that to say this. Listen, I'm going to be careful. I'm not here to hurt you. Listen now, watch. If we take that thing down, we're still redeemed, praise God. If we cover up that image of the cross or whatever, it's okay. If this building burns down and we meet out in the grass and we don't have a cross hanging up behind us anymore, or for some reason, some crazy bird went nuts and knocked those three crosses off the top of the church out there, it's okay. Amen. Why? Because it's an image. Now it represents, and we know what it represents, and people put them in their houses and in the yards and all those things. But this thing of going around and, you know, and making symbols and focusing on a symbol, that doesn't save you. That doesn't do anything for you. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, let's move on now. I love this passage of Scripture here. Again, I've told you that the Colossian people, I believe, struggled because there was false teachers in the church, and we see that evidence. I showed you that the first night. There were some different things in here where Paul's warning them. Remember, he had never been there. He had never been to this thing. He'd heard about them, and he's writing to them. Epaphras has come to him and told him about some things, and he's writing back. And he's challenging them about these false teachers in the church. And I believe they were challenging the deity of Christ, because he focuses so much here on the fact that Jesus Christ is not just a man, but he goes down and he's talking about how he is the image of God and how he all things were made by him and how he's got power over all these principalities and things. And he talks about all of that and how he, again, I'm going to get there, but verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell." That Jesus Christ is all of God in his one being. Amen. Because God is three persons, but he's all one. Amen. So when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Father and the Holy Spirit were also involved, because he's all of God in one being. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. And so let's go to verse 15. "Who is," it's talking about Jesus, "the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Hallelujah. The image of invisible God. Jesus on earth was exactly what the Father was in heaven. Think about that. Jesus on earth. Now he's at the right hand of the Father. But when he was on earth, and we were and man, what did John say in John chapter 1? He said, "We beheld his glory." In other words, we touched him, we smelled him, we were with him, we ate with him. He says, "I laid on him." Right? He says, John was saying, "Man, I know who he was. I was there with him." And that was God in a human form right there. Praise God for it. He's the image of the invisible God. Now, what that means, invisible God, means the Father's a spirit. He's invisible. And Jesus, think about it this way. Jesus, I wrote some things down, and maybe to help us. Jesus is the flawless moment by moment, audio, visual, 3D demonstration of all of what God is. Amen? Amen? That's who Jesus is. Amen. He created the tree that would be made into the cross. He created the iron in the earth that was formed into the nails that were driven through His hands and His feet. He created the very man that was doing the hammering. The tree and the iron that made the spear and the man that went right through him. He made him. Jesus Christ certainly did lay down His life. Amen. Now, when you're thinking about the image of the invisible God, the Lord, the Bible says this oftentimes, that He is the, it says it several times, that He is the expressed image of God. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus is the expressed, He's the expression. I believe that's why God calls Him the Word of God, because the Word of God is an expression. Right? Your words are an expression of you, and Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the expression of God. He's the image. And God Almighty, I believe, has dealt with man through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's His purpose, is to deal with, I mean, His purpose. That's who He is. That's why, that's God loved man and Jesus became flesh for man. All right, you understand what I'm saying? And God has always dealt with man through the Son, I believe. The Bible says that multiple times, here in Colossians, in Hebrews, and in Ephesians at least, and maybe more. But He says very clearly that it was through Jesus Christ that creation happened. It says that. That when God dealt with man, it was through the Son. Here's my opinion, and I'm saying it's opinion, but it's what I believe based off of these scriptures. Okay, I believe it was Jesus came down and walked with Adam in the garden. I believe it was Jesus on fire of the burning bush with Moses. I believe it was Jesus who came down and saw Joshua before Jericho. Remember when He got on His face and worshiped Him? I believe it was Jesus that met with Abraham in the tent right before Sodom and Gomorrah was burned up. I believe it was Jesus. Of course, we could go through all of these pre-incarnations. I believe Melchizedek that met Abraham and He paid tithes to him. King of Salem, King of Peace was Jesus. Amen. I believe that. Well, Hebrews tells us that, but amen. And it doesn't matter if I believe it or not. Hebrews tells us, amen. Okay? All right? Now, the three Hebrew children in the fire, Jesus was there. And we could keep going. We know these things now. Listen, there was times when there was angels that it wasn't Jesus. Remember, where is it in the Bible? I'm trying to think now. Remember, there was angels that tried to be worshipped, and they said, "No, don't worship me. I'm not the one." But there was other times when the angel of the host came, and the angel came, and Abraham and was praying to that angel. That was Jesus Christ when He was begging for to save Lot. And these things, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. What does that mean, the firstborn? Jesus Christ is God. He always has been, always will be, forever and ever. Listen now, He was not created. So what does that word mean, firstborn? It actually is in order, it's a priority word here. Firstborn means foremost in rank, priority, position. He's the firstborn of every creature. And what that means is He's the origin. That's what that means. He's the origin. You know why, men in here, you know why we look the way we look? Because Jesus looked that way. That's truth. Listen now. Now, I understand He's from the Middle East, so the skin was a little darker. His hair probably a little darker, maybe a little curly. I don't know all those things. But you understand what I'm saying. We look like this because Jesus looked like this. We were made in His image. Amen. That's why we're not, listen now, and when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us, when we're saved, we're not to defile our bodies. Why? Because we're in His image and we become His temple, listen, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's why when we sin, the Bible talks about us grieving the Holy Spirit, because we are His temple. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Temple is us. Amen. There was a temple in the Old Testament. Listen now. There was a temple in the Old Testament where God resided in that Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant that represented His presence. But now it's us. It's us. Amen. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. We aren't getting very far, but it's almost time to go. Amen. I'm having fun. Shoo! Lord, just extend church for a little while. Amen. Praise God. I love this scripture. Amen. Go for it. Everybody's like, I'm hungry. Okay, moving on. Amen. For by Him were all things created. Woo! That means you and me. Later it's going to say it's by Him and for Him. It says that in verse, what is it now? Well, it's the same verse, actually. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I have that underlined in my Bible so I don't forget it. It stands out to me. Why was I made? Not so John Woolard can be something. I was made for His glory. By Him and for Him. Now, we got to be done, but let's just take that thought and let's praise Jesus. Because He is worthy. Amen? All right, God's leading me here. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Stick with me now. We're almost done. Revelation chapter 5. You could go to 4 or 5, but I want you to see this. Look at Revelation 5. Man, read these two chapters if you haven't recently. Read them. I'm telling you what, this is what we're going to be doing one day. Amen. Revelation 5, look at verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It wouldn't be wrong of us to spend the next half an hour, I'll go all the way through the night and into the next day just singing praise to the Lamb, because He's worthy. Now look at this verse now. Look at it. Worthy is a Lamb that was slain, what? To receive power and riches and wisdom. The word to receive. This was pointed out to me recently. Listen now. To receive means when something is received, there's someone who's offered it. You follow that? When something is received, there's another that is offered it. Where does that come in? That's us. To offer up this praise, this power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Amen? He's worthy of it, and it's our job to give it. It's our job to give it. Lord, we thank You so much for the Word of God tonight. Thank You for teaching us. Thank You for reminding us of the truth. Thank You for who You are, Lord, and showing us in Your Word. Thank You for being the expressed image, that the image of the invisible God. Thank You for just the power of God, all of God in You. Thank You, Jesus. We do well, Lord, to recognize this, to praise You, and to give You thanks for God Almighty becoming flesh and yielding, Lord, Yourself, laying down Your life for me, for us. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To receive, Lord, that means I need to offer it up. And You're ready to receive it. Thank You so very much for tonight and for the challenge and, Lord, the teaching. And we ask Your blessing as we dismiss now. Thank You, Lord. Amen.